And hello from Damien O'Mara. You're very welcome to The Rugby Show, RTE Sports Rugby Podcast. And so, weekend one of the 17th instalment of the RBS Six Nations has drawn to a conclusion. Plenty to reflect upon, let's be very honest, after a fair bit of fear and worry in the build-up. Ireland have got up and running with that draw at the Aviva Stadium against Wales. We've got that plus a narrow win for France over Italy and a winning start to the Eddie Jones England era to chat about this week. Against the Head editor, Wes Liddy, is going to be with me in just a moment. Wes and I will be joined in studio by former Ireland international and regular RTE analyst Alan Quinlan. Before we hear from Quinny, let's get some reaction from some of those who were involved in Sunday's 16 points apiece draw at the Aviva Stadium. Irish coach and captain Joe Smith and Rory Best, the Welsh centre Jamie Roberts, and Irish scrum half Conor Murray.
You know, once it went 16-13 up, you know, at that stage, I'm delighted to get a draw. When we were 13-0 up, you know, you're really hoping that you manage to stay in front and get the win. What I would say in that first 30 minutes is that, you know, the possession and the time and the 22 was probably pretty evenly shared. I just felt we were a little bit more clinical and allowed us that little bit of a margin, and we defended stoutly. So, you know, That was a great start from the lads, I thought, particularly those lads who had to slot in. You know, it's a pretty new environment and it's not a friendly one, particularly not against the size and experience that Wales brought. You know, in the second half when they had the breeze and drew level and then got ahead, I thought it was a super effort from the lads to find a way to win, get that last 3 points to avoid the loss.
Yeah. Probably in the end, a draw is a fair result. You know, we felt that we had good periods of dominance, and I'm sure Wales will feel that they had the same. And I think from our point of view, to have gone 16-13, to be behind for the first time with about 6 or 7 minutes to go, to show the character to come back, to get the draw, and then put ourselves back into their half of the position to try to get something late on, it shows a lot of character. Look, it's a funny old result, the draw, you know, no one's overly happy with it.
They certainly started the better, quite better than us, just came out of the blocks quicker, and we were just caught napping really in the first 20. We did very well to get back into the game, and scored that try obviously before half time. I thought second half we played some great stuff. But, you know, I think one, you have to give credit to the Irish defence. I thought they defended well with width, and then, you know, we probably look at our attack, we probably attacked a bit too wide and probably didn't go direct enough, and we lacked a bit of punch and go forward. So that's something we'll look at. So, you know, 76 minutes on the clock, we conceded a penalty from an exit, and that's no way a penalty we should be conceding. That ball should be in the opposition 22, also kick to compete on the money. So we'll be disappointed with that, and I think when you look at that in the video and the context of how important that moment was in the game, you know, I think if that ball goes in the opposition 22, game's over.
There is a little bit of a feeling of disappointment in the dressing room, considering how well we started. I thought our first 30 minutes was really, really good. And then the last 10 minutes of the first half is probably the little section of the game we look at where we did kind of, we didn't do as well as we could have. And let them back into the game, let them back onto the scoreboard. And then the second half was a bit more 50-50. It ebbed and flowed a bit. It was a really quick game. You know, it was a lung burster, you know, really physical. You know, the forwards did a great job. You know, we looked at Warburton and Tipperick during the week. You know, we know how dangerous they are over the ball, and I'm not too sure, but I don't think they got much reward from our breakdown, which is a really pleasing aspect. You know, we targeted that all week, and we did quite well in that area. So, yeah, like, there's a lot of good stuff, a few little things that we need to brush up on. We're still in the hunt, we're still in the championship, and that's what we want. You know, and we're a really driven squad, and we have a 6-day turnaround now until Paris. So just recover, get the bodies right, and really, you know, I think we can take a lot of confidence from today. You know, people yeah. say that, you know, a bit disappointment with the draw, but I think there's a lot there.
Alan, if we start, it's kind of a strange atmosphere in the tunnel after the game yesterday, because the Welsh players seem to be almost as if they were beaten, and I think the Irish lads, should they be quite happy to get out with a draw on weekend one?
In the end, yeah, I think so. When Wales took the lead with about 7 or 8 minutes to go, I think you feared a little bit once they got their nose in front, because they had a lot of possession in the second half, a lot of momentum. The Ireland defence was fantastic. But then from an Irish point of view, being 13 points up, it was a great start. I was impressed with Ireland yesterday, you know, without, considering all the players that we've been missing and that are not available for various different reasons. Wales, very settled side, settled coach and ticket as well, you know, and a lot of confidence. And they probably took a lot more out of the World Cup than we did. They were very depleted by injuries, for sure. But, you know, they have better memories probably than we have. Massive win against England, Twickenham. And, you know, they're world-class players in that Welsh side. A lot of Lions players and a lot of guys who've won championships. So for them coming to Dublin, you think, yes, Ireland win at home for sure, in normal circumstances. But considering all the changes, I'm disappointed. There's no doubt about it with not winning the game. Everybody wrote Ireland off beforehand. I just had a feeling we'd get a reaction. Mm. And what we saw yesterday from Ireland was a reaction. I think we saw a fair bit of quality as well. And I know there's been a lot of negativity around no offloads and being really safe. But we saw a lot of strike moves yesterday. And we were the ones who actually opened Wales up on a couple of occasions, had some line breaks, as opposed to Wales didn't really get any clear-cut line breaks against us. So I think we showed a fair bit of ambition for first game. Small bit of preparation, it's short preparation for everyone. So overall, you know, disappointed with the result, but pleased with the performance.
Can I just ask you about, I know players will always say we don't read the newspapers and we're not aware of what's going on outside the camp. It's complete and utter rubbish. They know a lot of what's been said and they're quick enough to quote it back to you when it suits them. Like, does it come down to the simplistic stuff of, you know, stuff up on the dressing room wall, or, you know, will that have really galvanised them during the week that everyone was queuing up? Like, it was unusual. I'm not, like, you know, there's tabloid analysts who will always write Ireland off. But when you listen to people like Shane Horgan and Victor Costello yesterday and Donal Lenihan, who would be very well respected, you know, analysts, really concerned for Ireland. Like, does that have an impact on the dressing room?
Well, it would give you a bit of a chip on the shoulder for sure, and would fire you up a little bit as a player. And I suppose, you know, the reason people kind of said Wales are probably fancy to win was because of the quality they have and the less disruption to their team. You know, we're missing seven or eight kind of frontline guys who've been there for the last number of years. And for that reason, I think it was because people were thinking Wales could, we could come unstuck with them. But you wouldn't use it as huge motivation unless it's something personal. It was a kind of a general feeling that Wales would beat us. A little bit of inspiration would motivate the players a bit. But I suppose Joe Schmidt has done a really good job on keeping it simple for the players and having them focus on themselves and their own game plan, their own structure. And look, we forget sometimes, with the negativity that's been there in the provinces and maybe at the World Cup, that we've won the last two championships. So it's been a very good, successful period for Ireland. And with some of the changes happening now, the transition of some players coming through onto this team, yesterday was a pretty positive scenario.
You mentioned there that it was a bit of a reaction, and I suppose it kind of seemed a bit typified with a guy like Keith Earls, who maybe wouldn't be known for his defence, put in a huge amount of kind of impact tackles. And with that, a lot of guys like Devin Tone or Jack McGrath, kind of a new core of guys, seemed to step up and take a bit of ownership for the team, which was probably needed in light of the absences. But do you think there's a new generation kind of stepping up as leaders now in the likes of Paul's departure?
Yeah, for sure. I think they would have learnt a lot off Paul O'Connell. Devin Tone was outstanding yesterday, and a fair bit of pressure trying to run that line out. Jack McGrath, his form has been really good anytime he's played for Ireland. And he was good yesterday. You know, CJ Stander coming in, Tommy O'Donnell coming back from his really bad injury as well. The back row as a unit were really good. Jamie Heaslip stepped up as well. I think, you know, there's Robbie Henshaw, someone who's still quite young. He really kind of showed a maturity yesterday and a grit and a determination to match Jamie Roberts, who was outstanding. But the tackles that the boys put in against a really strong, powerful Welsh team. John Davies, North, got a lot of ball in the second half. As you say, Keith Earls, you know, stepped up with that physicality. Trimble, I thought, was really physical as well. Not just in the tackle. These guys are cleaning out rucks. Mm. And I think that has been an issue for some of the provinces in the wider channels, resourcing the breakdown. Joe has obviously really put a massive emphasis and pressure on them that, you know, when the ball goes wide, it doesn't matter what numbers on your jersey, you've got to resource it and expect, you know, the opposition loose forwards coming in, slamming you, trying to slam you backwards. So throughout the team yesterday, a lot of guys stepped up and, you know, showed a maturity, I think, because we were under a fair bit of pressure yesterday against a very good side. It's not ideal. You know, we go to Paris next week. That's another big challenge. France, you know, were patchy on Saturday, but they still showed glimpses of quality. So it's a very big challenge, and we should never underestimate going to Paris. But overall, yesterday, it's a disappointing result. But they've got to back it up now next week. We've got to try and get something and get a win in Paris.
I suppose just the man everyone's talking about in your old position, CJ Stander. I know over a couple of years, you maybe wanted to see him add a little more subtlety to his game in terms of handling or footwork. Do you think he's kind of rounded out now where he's almost a complete package at blindside? Or eight, wherever he plays?
Yeah, well, look, what a debut. I think 23 carries. It just shows the fitness and the work ethic of the guy. And he's very, very powerful. He continuously got over the gain line. Maybe got a little bit of white line fever at one stage there in the second half when we got into the 22. But his performance was outstanding. His defensive work, his link play, you know, so I think he's improved so much in the last number of years. He's a great attitude, this guy, and, you know, I think he's going to be a very popular member of the group because, you know, he's not an imposing fellow away off the field, really nice, gentle guy, and, you know, his performance yesterday will command the respect of players around him. There was a lot of big performances. You know, Sexton had a big game. His control was very good. Heaslip, as I said, Toner, Jack McGrath, these guys, they all worked tirelessly. I think the effort in defence was incredible. Now, you don't want to be going to Paris next week and defending for that long. Can we improve? Can they learn stuff from yesterday? Of course they can. Just that little bit of composure in the opposition 22, which we just didn't stay long enough in the Wales half, Wales 22. And, you know, there was a period of 46, 47 minutes when we didn't score. So there's a few concerns there, no doubt. But it was a lot of character shown yesterday.
Just on standard, just to kind of put the standard stuff to bed, aside, you know, there's been so much debate about project players and the citizenship rule and all of that. But you're dealing with a guy here who has made massive personal sacrifices on top of the work he's put into his rugby. Like he's nearly more Limerick than the lads who've grown up around the town.
Yeah, look, there's always that debate is going to be, and people are genuinely entitled to an opinion on it because it is a tricky one, you know.
But he has really embraced it.
Yeah, he has. From the minute, look, it's kind of like Rickard Strauss a few years ago. I was undecided about this a number of years ago, but I just thought about when Rickard Strauss was qualified for Ireland. Here's a guy who's 3 or 4 years, he's signed up for another couple of years, he's moved his family over, he's really bought into to what's happening in Leinster and Irish rugby, and Stander's the same. So some people will disagree with it, but, you know, as long as there's not 5 or 6 of them in the team,
yeah.
You know, one or two guys, Jared Payne is the same, you know what I mean? Do they play any differently? Do they show less passion? These guys are showing a lot of passion when they play with their provinces, and we saw that. We've seen it from Jared Payne, from Strauss, and yesterday from Stander. And they're professional as well. So, you know, it's a debate that'll probably roll on a little bit, but the rules are there, and I think that it's something that we need to look at. We don't have the biggest playing group of all the other nations, the top nations. So at times we will need to maybe look at a project player and expand the quality we have in the provinces. So I'm okay with it.
But it now creates a brilliant scenario for Joe Schmidt. That how do you integrate, you know, Peter Mahoney, Chris Henry, Jamie Heaslip, Tommy O'Donnell, Rhys Ruddock, CJ Stander? I'm probably missing loads of players. You know, it's talk about the competition there for that back row yet again, like the one that you would have been involved in.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of back row and back rows there and available, I think. It's been a big strength of Irish rugby for probably 15, 20 years now, quality back rows in all the provinces. There's some young guys, Masterson, Connolly in Connacht as well, Jake Heenan.
Jordy Murphy,
Jack Cohn and Vander Flyer, Fleer, I should say. And, you know, so there's a lot of guys, and Robbie Diak is another one as well. So there's a lot of... there's a lot of quality there. There's no doubt about it. Peter O'Mahony comes back. What do you do with Stander, Heaslip? I think it puts everyone on their toes. So Jimmy Heaslip,
an impact player either way. Anyway, off the bench.
Yeah, you have, and Chris Henry as well. He's someone who Joe likes as well. So it's you know, what happens next week with Sean O'Brien coming back. Tommy O'Donnell had a head knock, but
what do you think will happen? Sean comes straight in at 7.
Yeah, I think so, because of the head knock with Tommy. I'm not sure he'll be able to train fully during the week. And, you know, Tommy O'Donnell was having a super game yesterday. His tackle focus, his low tackle focus is outstanding. And that part of his game has improved so much. His ball carrying ability as well. So he made some great carries as well, you know. So that quality there, it's a bit of a headache with all
it's
those
nice
players.
Headache.
Yeah, it's a nice headache. You'd like to see the same kind of depth in the second row, which we don't have, unfortunately.
And maybe to progress it then, the big area that was talked about in advance all week was the scrum. And it was an area that we really struggled in patches yesterday. And you look, how important is it to get Mike Ross back fit and raring to go next weekend?
Well, I think it's...
I don't want to be disrespectful to Nathan White. But
yeah, look,
was...
I think he had problems yesterday with Rob Evans. And I thought Nathan White would dominate that area. Rob Evans, I didn't think, was the best scrummager. He's a very good footballer around the field, but you know, Gatland is a shrewd guy. He's obviously done a lot of work there in the scrum with him, and you know, we struggled for that scrum where Halatau scores. There was a period there where we had a couple of scrums going backwards, but you know, on the flip side of it then, in the first half, earlier in that first half when we were on their line and just after, before Conor Murray's try, you know, Nathan White had a couple of good scrums there as well, which gave us... So, look, whether it's a concentration thing, a height thing, a power thing, it's hard to know, but a little bit disappointing in that front yesterday, the set piece, the scrum. Toner ran the line out very well, though. We only lost one or two.
If you look at the... some of the disorganisation and defence France showed on Saturday, and you know, Ireland's kick chase been so good, you're looking at Médard a bit vulnerable at the back as well. I mean, there seems to be kind of ready made areas we can exploit if we go at them in the right way next weekend.
Yeah, look, anytime you play France, you want to try and keep it as structured as you can, and really kind of make them work in defence and hold on to possession, because they get a bit frustrated. They do like the game loosened up a little bit. Now, I know the club game over there has changed a lot, where there's a lot of kicking in it, but he's a fair bit of talent now, Noves. You know, Jonathan Dante and Fiku in the centre, two outstanding players.
And Fofana to come back, maybe.
Yeah, and if they get a lot of quality ball, and Vakatawa on the wing, he's outstanding. You know, this guy hasn't played club rugby for 2 years. He's been on the seventh circuit, but Noves has seen something in him. You know, Fijian, who can just do anything with the ball, really. So Médard as well, and they have a lot of quality there, a lot of dangerous players. You know, with France, you're going to get a physical challenge in Paris next week, but I think if we can improve on some of the strike moves and some of our execution yesterday, which undoubtedly I think we should get better, you know, we can definitely you know, push France and make them work, bring an intensity and a pace to the game. But again, you can't defend for long periods. Ideally, you want to hold the ball and play in the right areas, as you say.
But and the other thing as well that maybe us outside the camp or outside the game don't understand fully. A lot been made of the fact that, you know, France are at home back to back. They've got the extra day. You know, Ireland have to travel. They're likely to only get one full training session in on Thursday. How much of an impact realistically can all that make?
It's early days. I think Ireland would be pretty well rested from the last kind of 2 weeks leading into it. All the players were rested, so I don't believe training was too physically demanding. In the lead up to the Welsh game, this week, of course, you can't. Physical contact is probably a no-no. There might be a little bit of live scrummaging and stuff like that, but it's all about recovery now. And the game the boys would have played yesterday, even though they will be fatigued and tired today, it'll stand them in good stead. You know, that's match fitness that you can't. It's very hard, impossible to replicate in training. So that's a brilliant workout for everyone yesterday. You got to get the bumps, knocks, and bruises sorted. And when the going gets tough then in Paris, which undoubtedly at different stages of the game it will, that match fitness is in the bank. And the more games you play like that, actually, the fitter you get. So it's not ideal with the 6 day turnaround, especially when you got to travel now next week, but I think they'll be fine. They'll be fresh enough. The medics will work them hard and getting all that stuff right this week. And it's an organisational week effectively, Damien, and you know, as I said, if they can tighten up, sometimes a lot of analysis this week, just looking at little options, things that can be done better, little passes. You think Azebo when he made the break, if he goes back inside to Sexton, before half time. That
Earls and Payne had one on the wing.
Yeah,
as well.
They had one. Johnny Sexton had a great line break. You know, so we were the ones who made some of those clear cut line breaks yesterday. So going to Paris, you know, you're not going to grind out a result with penalties and stuff like that. You've got to play rugby as well. So hopefully they can improve for next week. It's still going to be very difficult. This early in the Six Nations, it's hard to kind of call and assess this situation because it's very early and teams get better. History's shown us that as the tournament goes on, they get more cohesive. So hopefully Ireland can improve next week and build on what happened yesterday.
The main areas then that you want to see improvement on, or the main areas you think Joe and the management team need to work on this week?
Well, our scrum is vital going to Paris. We've got to sort that out and make sure that, you know, the French will put a massive amount of pressure there with Slimani. You know, he's a world class tight head, and Benarous, two really, really strong scrummagers. So if we don't get the scrum right next week, it could be a long day in Paris. You know, I'm not that fearful. Our line out, if we have come up with a good strategy, sometimes if you don't have the tallest guys in the world, just organization can help you overcome that. But scrum is vital next week, there's no doubt about it. And just trying to build some pressure in the opposition 22, staying there, being more cohesive, little bit of white line fever, maybe picked and went a little bit too much on occasions when we got in there. Just being more cohesive in the scrum. Scrum is the big one for me.
How good an opening weekend overall do you consider it to have been?
Well, Saturday wasn't great, to be honest. I think Italy excited everyone, kind of being a neutral there. It's hard to know, were Italy really good or were France really poor? It's hard to judge
Parise
that.
If Parise had nailed that drop goal, they should have stopped the championship there and then.
Yeah, he would have been. He's an incredible player. His performances are just outstanding all the time. In a tough situation, you can imagine CJ Stander in a more dominant team, how much of an impact he would make. He's been unbelievable for Italy. Scotland, England was a dour affair, to be honest. England were just trying to grind out a result, and you could see the pressure was on them first up, and they got that done. They got the job done. Opening weekend, not too bad, but we would like to see a lot more expansive rugby.
Decent without being brilliant. Italy, France, exciting, maybe not the best rugby. You could possibly say the same for our game. I mean, you don't want to sound like one of these rugby snobs, but a lot of us were talking about, you know, needing to see a bit of evolution in terms of style from a lot of teams when you view it in light of the World Cup and some of the shortcomings of the Northern Hemisphere teams in it. And we probably didn't see a lot to suggest that if the World Cup was played in the morning, there was going to be any different outcome to that. But nor would you expect to, with 2 weeks preparation, or 1 week in France's case, heading into the first game. So I suppose hold judgment until firmer grounds and a few games under the belt in March.
Come here, Quinny, what's your thought process on the integration of new players? Because this was a massive talking point again yesterday, that should Ringrose be in there, should McCluskey be in there, should Van der Fleer be involved? Like, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater when the heads of the IRFU are telling the management team that the Six Nations is the bread and butter. How do you balance it?
Well, the Six Nations is about winning, and there's a pressure on from the IRFU. It generates all the finance of Six Nations. So being successful there is a primary goal. How do you think Gary Ringrose would have got on yesterday? With that physicality,
that's the issue that I think a lot of people have ignored in the run-up to it, is that, okay, he's a great player, you know, but there is... Well, you tell me, how much of a step up is there from the pro to
step.
Europe to test rugby? Like, he's... You look at it, like, even the definition of Henshaw physically compared to...
Yeah. The issue here, and it's very simple. I have no problem, and I want young players to be picked, but I want them to be physically well-maintained and developed as well. Robbie Henshaw made his debut last year, or a year and a half ago, as a 20-year-old, but was a physically imposing, strong guy. He's 21 now. He's huge. Mm. He's a really physically well-developed guy. He is able for that physical contact. You saw some of the impacts and the tackles he put in yesterday on Roberts and Davies, two really experienced internationals. Ringrose, put him in there and play against those guys. Okay, do you need to? Is he, you know, do you drop one or the other?
See, this is the argument. This is the thing that I can't understand all week. I'm yet to hear someone make a definite case.
In light of seven injuries, I think it's ridiculous to be asking for young guys to come in. You're already missing half.
I think Van der Fleer has made such a quick impact. He's someone, definitely. I wouldn't have had an issue with him. I think he's physically developed very well. But is he better than Tommy O'Donnell? Is he better than Sean O'Brien? So it's come down to selection issue.
That's the big thing.
And you know, you're not playing a 34-year-old at seven that you say, well, we're playing an old fella ahead of a young fella. His time will come, and it's very close, and it could come in the Six Nations. But Ringrose is the big one. I think Gary Ringrose is going to be there for 10, 12 years. Mm. He's going to be an outstanding talent.
When time is
right.
Still
has to fill out a little bit. And I think, you know, you don't want to kind of just throw the guy in there for the sake. You could put him in against Italy. You could have some involvement in the South African tour. You know, there's a lot of internationals, November internationals.
But that's my point. It's all well and good for people to be clamouring for youth, but where's the coherent argument to drop one of the centre partnership? Where's the coherent argument to drop one in the back row? That's, you know, it's where...
Yeah, well, look, when Drico made his debut in 99, I think Ireland weren't in a very good place. So it's back to the wall scenario. You know, sometimes when you're in that situation, you just throw a few young guys in there and you really hope that they'll make an impact. It's a different scenario now. There's a very strong, mature group of talent there. You look at McCluskey, Marshall, they're ahead of Ringrose.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt about it. So, you know, he will play, there's no doubt about it, very talented guy. But I want to see him play 20 games a year with Leinster. I want to see him play out the rest of the season if he's ready for that and physically develop a bit more. So
I spoke to David Wallace yesterday after the match.
That's a big name you've just dropped.
Pretty physically imposing guy in his playing days. Retired 5 years, and he reckons there's about a stone a man gone onto a back row player even in the 5 years since he's gone. Yeah. Just Anders is a stone and 2 pounds heavier than he was.
Jeez, there you go.
Yeah, they're physically getting bigger, these guys now. But look at the back line yesterday. Roberts, Davies, Tom James, George North, all over 100.
I interviewed here, I'll clang a name as well. I interviewed Roberts after, and it's only when you actually stand beside him you realise these lads are like absolute monsters. You know, television doesn't do them justice.
Yeah, they're big guys.
One or two things. Keith Earls, was he lucky to stay on with the tackle in the first half?
No, I don't think there was any intent. I think it was a good call from Garces.
Big momentum swing though, wasn't it? Because if it hadn't been called back, we were 60 yards down the field.
Yeah, it was. It was a 3-pointer for them. It could have been nothing for it as well. You know, it was that kind. But a penalty is probably fair. But it was a big swing on it for sure.
Any other initial? That's okay. We'll leave it at that then. You're probably the most popular man in RTE today. I don't know if it's because you've got the RBS Six Nations Trophy and Triple Crown with you, or Stephen Ferris hanging out. Do you want?
I think it's Stephen Ferris.
Nah, come in. There's more people queuing up for selfies with Quinny. Thanks as always for your time.
My pleasure. Cheers.
Good to talk to you. That's Alan Quinlan. I suppose, Wes, we've other few bits and pieces to talk about. 20s Friday evening, 35-24. Scoreline probably doesn't do justice to how competitive the Irish side were, but probably the big lesson may well be, you know, little lapses in concentration, one little mistake, a team like Wales is going to dominate you.
Yeah, or that it was the biggest under-20 side we've ever put on the field, and the Welsh side was even bigger. Mark Taylor, speaking to us before the game, involving the Welsh coaching setup, said he reckoned it was the best Welsh side that ever put out at this level. Mm. So, can't be too disappointed. Maybe Ireland have sacrificed a little bit of skill for size in a couple of positions, but you know, certainly some guys like James Ryan and some of the front rowers, and I thought Kelvin Brown in the back row and the two Connors and Gallagher on the flanks were really strong as well.
The women's game, 21-3, which was interesting because Wales were talking about just having to turn up and they'd depart Dublin with a fairly comfortable win. So good opening defence for the Irish women as well.
It seems to be very difficult to predict the outcome in the women's games because all of them are so decimated from time to time by players going off on the seventh circuit ahead of the Olympics. So I think certainly a good win, and they seem to be in the mix for the championship, but I guess as I said, it's very hard to tell.
Yeah, and then I suppose the other story from a domestic perspective, Ulster back on top of the Pro 12. Paddy Jackson, I didn't see it, but by all accounts, Paddy Jackson, the star of the show.
He won it late for him. They've, you know, you're mentioning Stuart McCluskey there. They've they've unbelievable talent in the centre at the minute. You know, you had Stuart Olding and Darren Cave there on Friday. You know, you've McCluskey and Luke Marshall were both in the match. Well, Marshall wasn't in the match day squad, but he was there togged out yesterday. Jared Payne as well. You know, Sam Arnold having to go to Munster. I think, you know, Ulster seem very well placed, the Irish teams, in terms of their on and off field stuff, like in terms of their academy, developing their stadium, getting good crowds, having a very high profile coach and ticket. Ryan Kankowski arriving Whitby Town next year. They seem to have adjusted well to the new landscape.
But it comes, and it's a conversation we've had in this scenario, and we've had it off air as well, that when you've put all that investment in, you just need to quickly start delivering silverware, and it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, and maybe they were a bit hamstrung with Les starting a bit late with the World Cup, and that this year they were unlucky not to get out of their group. But
still, they're in the box seat for the Pro 12.
I presume there's someone throwing them a few pennies quietly somewhere with the size of the salaries they're spending on some of these new signings.
So anyway, we're up and running. Weekend one. What was your expectation for Ireland for the Six Nations before the weekend?
I don't know, really. It was hard to say because, you know, I suppose people were a bit deflated from the World Cup and you were kind of hoping for something new, wrongly or rightly, and but maybe not expecting to get it. I think in light of all the injuries coming into the game last week, expectations went down. Unfortunately, even though we're kind of praising them because it was a massive physical effort in that game, you know, maybe a championship's out of bounds already. You know, even years, people have won championships without Grand Slams like us in the last 2 years. It's generally off 4 wins. So we're looking at needing to win every game, which means winning in Paris and Twickenham back-to-back is a pretty hard ask.
Yeah. That said, like, did you see any massive revolution in England over the weekend? Like, but again...
We struggled to beat them.
Yeah, I suppose. But it all comes back to what Quinny was saying as well. That, like, I think Ireland last week only had, was it like either 6 or 7 training sessions in advance of...
But France's players were playing top 14 the weekend before.
So maybe we should be worrying about round 3 onwards.
Well, you get your 2 week break after round 2, so, you know, you can refuel a bit then and hopefully you have a couple of guys back from injury, but... Look, I think all in all, you'd have to be pretty pleased with yesterday anyway.
Okay, so now we're here recording in Podland at whatever it is, 20 past 12 on a Monday. So if you're listening to this in advance of Against the Head, busy Against the Head on RT2 television this evening?
Yeah, Donal Lenihan, Bernard Jackman and Eddie O'Sullivan. Plenty of analysis. All the games, 20s, women's, seniors, Pro 12, UBL, so yeah. Plenty
and
on.
If you're listening to this after Against the Head has gone out on television, you can watch it back on The Player, I presume.
Yeah. And you can tune in next Monday for a special with Shane Logan and Les Kiss on all things Ulster. Oh,
there you go. And radio coverage, obviously, Ireland against France is live on Saturday Sport this coming weekend. There's build-up across the week and Game On 2FM and across bulletins on Radio 1 and 2FM. And our friends in online as well will keep you entertained on rte.ie/sport. We've pretty much put everything to bed, Wes, I think, haven't we? Okay.
I think so.
So from Wes and I, until we chat next week, thanks for your time.